Welcome back to the FPL Experiment Podcast. 5 game weeks left and plenty of time to make up some ground on those people in your mini leagues. Secure those bragging rights on your workmates. A lot can happen. There will be risers. There will be chokers. Let's look back on game week 33 and make some plans for game week 34. Lads, the FPL experiment is back in the top 50k.
Whoop, whoop. Woohoo!
47k. That's where we are at the moment. A 12k rank jump this week. Happiness in camp. More on that later. Greg's here. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Adam.
Nick's here as well. Hey, Nick.
Hello, Adam.
A fun week for us because we've got the FPL experiment team, but we've also all got our individual teams as well. So we all play in a league with our friends. Greg is the chairman of that league. He also runs a cup alongside the league. So it's the Wager Cup. And at the end of the season, right, maybe your season isn't going particularly well. Maybe your rank isn't quite where it normally is, Nick. And the cup is great for those people because it gives you something to play for at the end of the season. So you stay interested in the game. There's some cash on the table as well, so you can win some cash in the cup. Now, what happens with the Wager Cup is that Greg sends round a weekly email talking about the winners and the losers and really goes for some of the people, some of the losers. First round of the cup this week. Nick, how did you get on?
Yeah, I went through. Lovely. Thank you. Big, big gap between me and my opponent.
Yeah, I went through as well. Greg, how about you? How did you get on?
My sister knocked me out in the first round.
Yeah, your sister, first year for her in the league. And what's really good is that after this weekend's result, we've been catching up with FPL manager Lindsay Shaw. Lindsay, thank you for joining us on the FPL Experiment Podcast. Big cup win at the weekend. Talk us through it. How good did it feel to get the win?
You know, sometimes people don't play to win, and that's fine. That's the type of person that they are. But this was a big win for me and very, very important. Very pleased with it. Feels good.
What was the build-up like to the cup game? Were there any words between the two management teams?
I do recall Greg saying it would ruin his week if I won, followed by a lot of voice notes throughout the weekend of various occasions where he was winning. So he was kind of cheering along how successful he was being. I was trying to be quiet and, you know, not brag. But you know what Greg's like on WhatsApp? He's very braggy with his voice notes throughout the weekend.
Very braggy, yeah.
It came down to Vardy versus Castagne. That's how close it was, because mine and Greg's team was very, very similar.
Oh, so you had Castagne?
Yeah, so I had Castagne. He conceded. I got sent a voice note laughing in my face. and then I didn't say anything, just let the game play. And then he then scored. So Greg then was sending swear words to me throughout, and then Vardy did nothing. So it worked out.
Have you spoken to Greg afterwards? Have you maybe just sent him a nice message?
So he said to me, just know that if you beat me, you're going to get relegated in my favourite sister list. And since then, conversation has been limited. But he is due to pop down and visit me at the weekend. So there's going to be a face-to-face encounter.
Okay, nice. Anything, Lindsay, that you would like to say to Greg now that you've got this platform?
Yeah, I just want to say I can't wait for the email. And, you know, it's a shame that you're going to have to email all of your friends about how you got knocked out in the first week. And I just can't wait for all of the emails that you're going to have to send whilst you're not part of the Wager Cup. But I'm sitting at 830K. So that's who you got beat by, 830K.
Ooh, what's going to happen, though, for the end of the cup? Because now he's going to try to give you help. But I guess he wouldn't have given you any help before this week.
No. So I actually know someone who, I think at the moment, he's sitting 1,500 overall in the world. So I'm going to start using him because Greg's overall position isn't as impressive anymore.
Loved that at the end. Been dropped there, mate.
I was about to say she took that very, very graciously until that little dig at the end. That was brilliant.
Hopefully her first and last ever appearance on the FPL Experiment Podcast.
I thought she sounded great. I was wondering whether we do a Shaw trade for next season.
Yeah, she spoke very well, yeah. Oh, yeah, Greg looks absolutely seething.
You know what? My takeaway this week was how FPL is the great leveler of egos. And me losing to my sister and getting knocked out of the Wager League Cup in the first round has popped my ego somewhat, shall we say.
Was it a lot harder to take that loss to a sibling versus anyone else, would you say?
Yeah, it's not easy, lads, when you lose to your sister who's only played it for the first year ever. Like, as you said, though, look, she only had her actual text message to me afterwards was, her success is the success of the podcast, so it's my own fault.
I think she was just trying to be nice, though, mate. Really, she was just fist bumping everywhere, like, yeah, smashed him.
Especially after those voice notes. Crikey.
I was really gobby on the voice notes when Kester Elbert.
Oh, that's a surprise, Greg.
I don't believe that.
I've heard that I might have Lindsay this week. So
this could be brilliant.
Oh, wow.
You can't fix it, Greg. Don't fix it. But I mean, I don't want her to knock another member of the FPL experiment out of the cup. Very quickly, let's talk about the FPL Experiment League. So I'm just going to pick out a couple of names here, a couple of teams that have stood out that might be worth you going to have a look at. Mike Mahoney in game week 28 was at 66K. He's now at 13K. Ian Acho and Lingard doing the business for him. In that same period, the person who at the moment is the best performer for the month is Emmanuel Fernandez, whose team name is Fat Dove, jumped from outside of 1 million up to 350K.
What?
Worth checking his team. That's massive.
Who did he have?
Definitely had Castagna this week. Definitely had Iheanacho. But worth checking out Fat Dove.
The jobbling's still crushing it, isn't he?
24 in the world overall. Doing pretty well. Let's talk about takeaways then. Greg's kind of done his. Nick, what was yours?
Actually, mine's also Greg-related.
So, the Greg which podcast.
I'm sure you'll be excited about.
Have you got a chat with his mum or something? Are we going to put that on?
Yeah. She's coming on. She's coming in hot. No, I would just like Greg just to come back down to earth a little bit. And I think the cup defeat will have done that. But ever since one of our friends commented that Greg's gut picks had been consistently good, and I would like to add at this juncture, that was not based on fact, but Greg has really taken this in and taken this information to heart, and he is every good pick that he has, which there are some, I'll admit, but there's also, you know, a few bad ones. Every good pick, he's on the voice notes. He's always talking about it on our WhatsApp group, and he I think he honestly believes he is some sort of FPL visionary, and he flatly refuses to accept any of his wrong picks. So don't get me wrong, like I want so to benefit. True. I want to benefit when Greg gets his picks right. And I think our team has benefited this season. But you need to accept your wrong picks, mate. You have to.
You know, when you see people at these kind of like religious things and like a cult, and it sort of takes over because someone's on stage shouting something like, "The Lord's inside you," or something like that, and they're like, "Oh my God, the Lord is inside me." Like, I think Richard Morris, when he said this comment, has basically made Greg think that he came up with that comment, and he's like, "All of my gut picks are true, they are true. You feel God is inside me."
No. You know what, lad? The fact you're
Hallelujah!
I actually forgot that it was Morris that said that.
I knew.
Until you guys said it the other night, I was like, yes, my gut, it's 100% right, 100% of the time. Let's see how my picks do this week, shall we? Then we can be next week.
Fair play.
Right, let's talk about game week picks. First of all, a quick quiz. Can you name the four FPL players that have scored 100 points or more in 2021?
Pereira
is the surprise one, yeah.
Kane.
Yeah.
Gundogan.
Yeah.
Iheanacho.
No. Give me a minute. Is it...
Maybe this one's a surprise as well.
Is it...
Recently, he's been absolutely awful.
Salah?
No, it's Fernandez. So that was from FPL Stato on Twitter. I stole that. But I thought the Pereira one was mad.
He was one of those players who... He has bursts, doesn't he? So, I mean, I remember owning him in our own team for a while. And he did nothing for like what seemed like about a month. So he must have had two big bursts around that.
Yeah, he had the Chelsea game. Definitely, I remember he got 20 points in that one, didn't he? Anyway, let's get into game week picks. Let's start with goalkeepers. I think there are a couple of obvious ones. There have been for a couple of weeks. I think Mendy is obvious because they're playing Fulham and Chelsea are up there with one of the best defences in the league. I think City are actually statistically far better. But Edison would be the other option if he plays, because I think it's really difficult to pick anyone from City at the moment. Did you have anyone else in there, Greg?
Yeah, I went for little T-Rex arms, Jordan Pickford, at home to Aston Villa. It's a bit of a dangerous pick because you never know what you're going to get with Everton, do you? So, but he got 9 points last week against an awful, awful Arsenal team. But they've got a really decent run on the horizon, and the double that's coming up. Who knows when that's going to be? I mean, put your finger in the air and let's see what happens. But the only insight I can offer in terms of why I've picked him really is have a little bit more fun. I think, yes, you can go the obvious picks, which are your Mendy's, your Edison's this week. But Villa have failed to score in four of the previous 11 games, which is quite high stat considering how well they have been doing.
That's very strange because I actually went for the same guy. We've spoken about Pickford before. I think he's a fun player to own because he's boom or bust, isn't he? Like, he could go all out and make some outlandish saves, get, you know, he got two bonus last time against Arsenal. I think Villa are, as you said, Greg, like, they're a bit erratic going forward, but I do expect if Pickford is to keep a clean sheet, he will have to make some saves. Mm-hmm. Equally, he could concede four, so who knows? But it's always fun.
Spurs defence this week. Greg, would you go anywhere near it? Playing Sheffield United, the worst attack, but ultimately Spurs defence.
No.
Okay, great. How about you, Nick?
However, I mean, McGoldrick, you don't want him anywhere near you as a striker. He's dangerous these days, isn't he, McGoldrick?
Not looking at their scoring stats, he's not, but...
Well, do you know what, though? Do you want a good David McGoldrick stat?
Oh, I like the way you segued into that, Greg.
Segued into that one. I was like, I don't know.
It's almost like you set it up.
It's like I've almost got a David McGoldrick stat for you.
Is this going to make it into the podcast? Yes or no?
Who knows? He scored 39% of Sheffield United's goals this season. So 7 of the 18 goals that Sheffield United scored, he's actually scored. So it's
I think the stat's ever so slightly misleading there, isn't it? They've only scored 18. That's the real problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for one game, like, Lloris is probably a good pick. I don't fancy Sheffield United to score even against Spurs.
Anyway, let's talk about defenders. I think Castagna should be in people's thoughts, playing really high up the pitch. Obviously did the business against Greg this week in the cup. He looks like he could provide assists and goals. Looks like a great shout. And I think there are a few other obvious options out there, but I thought I'd try and stick something in that wasn't as obvious. So I've gone for maybe 1 week, but maybe there's a bit of longevity to this pick as well for Charlie Taylor. Couple of good deliveries, Chris Wood in the middle, waiting for those crosses. He's cheap, he's a good bench option, and between now and the end of the season, they've got some really good fixtures. So they've got Fulham and Sheffield United on the horizon after this week. Looks like a player that might be worth keeping. He's always done quite well for me as well, Charlie Taylor, so I've got a bit of a soft spot for him.
That's a nice pick, that. I like it.
Nick, how about you at the back?
So I've actually gone for Luke Shaw for United at home to Liverpool this week. Word of warning, though, I don't think this is for the clean sheet potential. I just fully expect him to get in behind Trent. Greg shared an incredible stat with us about him this week, that this season he's created the same amount of chances as Messi, which is just ludicrous.
Is Messi a creator or is he more of a goal scorer? I don't know if that is a great stat, Shaw's stats are insane.
I just look at the names, mate. Messi, fine.
Oh, Messi,
But yeah, I think United, who, and their form is really good. Like, that Leeds game was a bit of a blip. I mean, I know Leeds have been good recently, but United are in good scoring form. I fully expect them to put a few past Liverpool, and that their defence is kind of very shaky at the moment. And I honestly think Shaw could get some attacking points.
Can I also add into that as well? Like, in 2021, Luke Shaw's created the most chances of any player in the Premier League.
Essentially a left winger, isn't he? He's really not a left back. Yeah.
And Trent has looked so poor defensively. Like, I know he's good going forward, but I think there could be so much space behind him. I think he could be in a spot of bother.
Greg, how about you at the back?
Well, I went with your obvious pick and the favourite of the pod and the merchant of my doom from last week, Timothy Castagna. Purely based on his switch to right back, he's so much more effective at right back than he is at left back. He's been brilliant. Like, last five game weeks, he's totaled 28 points. What's that, 5.6 he's averaging a week? Leicester did look nervy against Palace in the first half particularly, but I think that's because of what potentially lays ahead in terms of that Champions League qualification. But I think a lot of that sort of, shall we say, expectations now have been released from the shoulders, and I think they'll do well at the weekend. So, yeah, Timothy Castagna for me.
In terms of midfielders, if you can pick the right City player against Palace, I think you're onto a winner. Maybe it's Foden, maybe it's Mahrez. And I don't think people will go there. So strangely, they're going to be differentials. But I mean, it's a difficult one because with the Champions League and Man City having pretty much signed up the league, it's so hard to pick what Pep's going to do. And it's already tough to pick what he's going to do. So Son's the obvious shout. Although I think if Bale starts, and he didn't obviously start in the Carabao Cup, but then you kind of question what's Son's role in that team? Because when Kane, Bale and Son play, Son quite often has played a deeper role. That might not happen under Ryan Mason. I don't know what to think about all of that. Greg, who are you thinking about in midfield?
Well, you've just set me up nicely there. So I've gone for Gareth Bale at home to Sheffield United. Yes, he's probably a little bit of a more out there pick than maybe everyone else just going for Son. But he did start Ryan Mason's first game. And he got a goal in that game. And yes, I know he didn't play in the Carabao Cup and you guys would give me a bit of abuse on WhatsApp when I suggested that he potentially could be a transfer for us this week. I just think you'd imagine Mason is going to start playing with a little bit more sort of reckless abandon that he was talking about. Friend of our show as well, FBL Salah, he's got him down in the bookmaker's odds as the seventh most likely to score at any time in game week 34.
I think probably Spurs tried to be a bit more defensive against City and they probably will open things up against Sheffield United. But then what I'm thinking is looking forward, does Bale play when Spurs play Leeds? I'm not really sure he does. I've got no clue with him really. Nick?
I think it's a bit of wait and see, isn't it? Like, I know it's hard with it being the end of the season. I'd like to at least give it a game before investing in any more Spurs players. Like I just, like Mason, who knows how he's going to play? And they look... They did look terrible. I know City can make a lot of teams look terrible, but they look rubbish. So.
Do you know what's also weird? You know, like a lot of Premier League players seem to have, there seems to be like an in-house hairdresser. His bonnet, Ryan Mason, is, I mean, it's full on student vibes, isn't it? It's got massive. You know when you didn't used to get your hair cut for like 4 months and then you go home and your mum would be like, get your hair cut, you messy. I mean, Mason's comb over situation. Come on, mate.
Would you ever go for that sort of style?
I mean, I had a big old bouffant when I was at uni. When I look back at some of the photographs, whoo! But
I'd like to see the human roll-on deodorant with that sort of bonnet. You do like love that. A wig, yeah. We've seen Greg on a stag do, and God, it wasn't even fancy dress every day, but he was popping on the wigs every day.
Nick, who's your midfield pick?
So I have really been enjoying watching Alan St. Maximan. Recently, he has been mesmerizing, and I know Newcastle are probably safe now, but mathematically they're not quite there yet, so I think there's still motivation there. On paper, Newcastle at home to Arsenal isn't the most appealing fixture to target, but Arsenal is such a weird team. They've not had a clean sheet since January, and St. Maximan is the sort of player that I think could cause them all sorts of problems. I could see him, you know, twisting those Arsenal defenders inside out. I think he could be a bit of a rogue pick, but I like him. And he's not a lot of money.
He's loving that free roll in the middle. He looks so much, it's so much more fun seeing him there rather than watching him out on the wing, which is where he was at the start of the season. It just sort of a bit shackled over there. You're like, nah, just know who you are, Newcastle. You're not going to be finishing top six. Just have a nice time. Play some good football. Chuck him in the middle.
Let him be free. I mean, he did look absolutely battered by the end of it, though. He was getting kicked left, right and centre, wasn't he? But still, if he plays, he could be dangerous.
Up front, two standouts, Kane, Iheanacho. Outside of that, Nick, your boy.
Wood, he's a savage. I thought that'd be too obvious for me to pick him. So I've actually gone someone else. I think, as you say, Iheanacho, you'd be brave to go without him. My pick is slightly off-piste. I'm going for Diagne for West Brom at home to Wolves.
What?
And my critics might say that I'm just looking for another big man up top to replicate what Chris Wood did to Wolves last week. And they probably be right. But I think Wolves looked so open at the back, didn't seem to be motivated at all. Like they weren't chasing the ball. And West Brom have no option but to win every game now. And Diagne is actually, he's in lip-smacking form. He's got 21 points in the last four games. And I think he's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. So I think it's a calculated punt. It's still a punt, but it's a calculated punt.
So is that the kind of noise that you would make then, Nick? If there's a player and you're like, I'm going to bring him into my team, it's a lip-smacking?
It's more like lip-smacking form. Oh, yeah, that sort of noise. Yeah, very... Very tart.
Mm.
Do you want to know a little burn? You know, I'm liking my Burnley stats at the moment, and this kind of coincides with your Chris Wood loving. Do you want to know a little Burnley stat?
Mm.
Go on.
So Dwight McNeil, 63% of his Premier League assists have been for Chris Wood. So 10 of his 16 assists have been for Chris Wood. It's the most of any player with at least 15 assists in the Premier League. So it's better than the whole Son and Kane. It's better than, was it Fraser and Wilson?
They love each other. That's nice.
Greg, how about you? Anyone else? Anything else?
Yeah, I've gone a little bit off piece as well. Like Nick was saying, look, the obvious picks are Nacho and Kane, goes without saying. But I've gone back for my boy, Paddy Bamford. He's had a bit of a quiet period and we've had obviously a really difficult run of late, and we've really missed the creativity of Rafinha, who hopefully, if at least he doesn't start this weekend, he's probably going to come off the bench. But no team has, only Man United, sorry, picked up more points in April than Leeds. And we had a ridiculously tough run against, was it Man City, Liverpool, Man United as well. So I'm backing Paddy to be back amongst the goals.
Yeah, I think Leeds might go a bit under the radar because lots of people would have transferred them out for the three tough fixtures. So you might be able to bring in players like Dallas and Bamford. But I think it does hinge on Rafinha. Definitely agree. Greg, differentials.
Differential of the week.
It's definitely getting higher pitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just sitting on a harder chair, I think, each week.
The best differential for this game week, Chris Wood with the hat trick, 20 points. Can't believe it.
Assist. If only I picked him a week later.
Mm. So let's look at the league table. Greg, top 131. Me, 107. Nick, 103. This week, Greg picked William Jose, and he got 2 points. Nick went for Greenwood, he got 3. And I went for Pogba, and he got 1. So not a brilliant week. Although
I think
Nick,
that's the first week I've ever finished top.
Yeah, you have ever so slightly closed the gap by a couple of points there.
Come on!
Good work.
Pennies make pounds, my friend.
So with that in mind, Greg is on 133. I've got 108. Nick's got 106. Nick,
come on.
Who's on your brain this week, Nick Jackson?
I'm going for my old mate, the lip smacker. I'm going for Diagne, 6 million, 0.4%.
Oh.
He's the ultimate differential. So I think with anything below 1%, as we agreed, I'll get double points if he rules.
You can't make up your own rules, mate. Can't make up your own rules. Who are you going for, Greg?
I'm playing Pep Roulette this weekend, and I'm going Bernardo Silva. 7.4 million, 1.1%, 17 points in his last 2 games, 3 assists. And it's purely based on his recent form. But he did start tonight's game, so he's probably going to get benched, and Torres will probably be the one you should go for.
That's risky, Greg, being, you know.
I could play, I could be risky. I've got so many points, so much big lead on you two that I can do whatever I want, really.
It's probably less risky than Diagne, let's be honest.
I thought the one of you would go for Wood up against West Ham because they've been woeful. I've gone for, thinking that one of you would do that, and I'm now thinking, is this the best choice? I've gone for Siggy against Villa, 7.6 against the Villa team that have all of a sudden started leaking some goals, and he's on penalties, and you never know what you're going to get with Everton. But if he secures me some points, he's like boom or bust, isn't he? Like, if he gets points, he's going to be big points, and I'll be coming for you, Greg.
Tasty, very tasty.
So, Bernardo Silva, Diagne, and also Siggy for us in this week's differentials. Let's talk about transfers. So last week with our team, a successful week for the FPL experiment team, 64 points. And yeah, lots to shout about. Rudiger, Shaw, Mendy all doing the business. In fact, yeah, our defenders really grabbed us the points and were real difference makers. Salah captain, Iheanacho grabbed points as well. The United boys didn't do too well. Jota and Greenwood potentially are issues. So we've had a conversation about this on WhatsApp, and I think there are one of two routes that we could look to go. We could be really sensible, and we could look ahead to game week 35, and we could say, right, there is what looks like a double game week on the horizon, and maybe we don't make any transfers. Maybe we try and build for the double game week. We have still got bench boost left. And maybe that means we can build a really good bench and really try to grab some points there. Otherwise, I guess the other option is to be a bit more gung-ho and to chuck a few players in. And Jota and Madison are two players that we've identified in that midfield that really aren't doing the business for us. Madison hasn't really worked out as a differential which is slightly annoying because he's playing in a team that are scoring hatfuls of goals. So, yeah, I guess that they're the two options. To be honest with you, I really don't know which side to come down on. But after our conversations today, Greg, has your mind changed ever so slightly? Because initially you were on the transfer side, then we talked about the potential doubles coming up. Where's your head at?
I think I've changed somewhat in regards to we need to plan for that double. I know you said we could be really sensible and bank the transfer, but we could still plan for a double by just making one transfer this week. And then even if we're going to take a points hit next week, we'll still do two transfers anyway and have a really good bench boost in place. So I would still like to get rid of Jota this week because he is annoying the living hell out of me. I did really want to get Maddison out, but I think he can have one more week stay of execution in our team. I really want to bring in one of Bowen, Souček, Harrison, Saka, McNeil, Bale, one of them. I don't really reckon forward if we take out Jota, but...
It's always good to be specific though, isn't it?
But yeah. Lots of those names that you've mentioned, they don't have doubles, so we're not taking advantage of the doubles.
About. I meant I want to bring in James Rodriguez. That's what I meant.
Yeah, you really, really want to bring him in. Sounds
yeah,
like
really
been thinking about
even more than Bowen, Saka, McNeil, Souček, more than those.
Just all the other players that are valued at under 7 mil. Nick, what I really like as well, Greg, about this, because this has definitely been the Greg podcast. I don't know if I want to make that the title for the podcast, but there is something else that I've noticed about Nick, just to tip the scales ever so slightly. Nick has billed himself a couple of times over the last couple of weeks as the strategist, as the one with the brains behind the operation. I hate to be the sensible one, guys, but here I am, guys, with what is the sensible option that we should go for. And
trio needs one.
It's not just the name that you give yourself, but it's also the tone that comes with it as well, that all of a sudden it becomes, hey guys, I'm just going to be really reasonable here, guys.
I find it a bit patronising as well, Nick, I'll be honest.
No way. What, that tone? Come, no.
I mean, if you want to call me the strategist, I'll take it.
I don't. You want to call yourself that. No. I've got no plans to call you that.
Okay, fine. We'll call me the strategist going forward. Fine.
The Pampers King, I'll continue to call you.
Yeah, I mean, I like that one too. I feel like I made a suggestion earlier about the transfer.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I've just heard
Greg
it
just regurgitated. Yeah, Greg just regurgitated what I said, which is fine because it means he's bought into it. So I'm with it. The strategist, you know, is not fussy about that.
What's it like having a grown man on your arm, puppet master?
Slippery. Right. So I agree. I'm fed up with Jota. He can't hit a barn door. He had so many chances and just makes watching Liverpool annoying. I had initially thought we should bin off Maddison and Jota and maybe getting a Spurs player, either Son or Bale, and some like cheap midfielder. But I think I like the balance that you suggested, Ad. I am very aware of the double as well, which I hadn't really given too much thought on. But Everton's double looks really nice. Their fixtures, even without the double, Villa, West Ham, Sheffield United, Wolves and City. Like, apart from that last game, that's a really nice run. That's probably the nicest run in the league. So I think a straight swap. I initially thought of Siggy, but then I looked at Sigurdsson's numbers and as you said, Ad, in the differentials, he's boom or bust. He had like one big 15-point haul and the rest were like one-pointers. But Rodriguez has been quietly going about his business. He's got 23 points in the last four. And Greg, you make a great point. Why roll it when we can upgrade now? I really do not want Jota, Salah, Fernandez, Greenwood, all in our team for this week. I know we could bench one, but it'd be hard to bench one of those guys. I think that's just too much in one game. I'd rather get rid of one of those boys and United potentially have a double and Liverpool don't, as far as I'm aware. So I think the sensible move, Jota to Rodriguez.
There he goes again, the sensible move.
It literally just came out naturally to him.
Yeah, can't just become that guy. So I'm not that fussed by Rodriguez, if I'm completely honest. It doesn't really highly motivate me, and I would lean more towards not making a transfer with the idea that we build a bench for the double game week. And I think looking at Jota's fixtures, as much as he has been a real pain for us, if you look at his fixtures between now and the end of the season, he's got three horrendous defences to play, which is why we picked him in the first place. We took a long-term view, and he's got Palace, West Brom and Southampton in three of the four games after this Man United game. The other one is Burnley. So Southampton have been horrendous at the back recently. They're one of the worst in the Premier League. Palace have been really bad as well. So I don't mind keeping Jota around and benching him this week for the United game. I realise you two have kind of already made your play, but I just thought I'd say where I was kind of coming from with the team.
So who would we play instead of Jota this week?
I would probably look at starting Vidra, who plays against West Ham. I don't see much of a difference between starting Vidra and starting Rodriguez.
That's so much Liverpool and United for this week. Even if we bench Jota, I just feel like that's too much.
Okay, so let's say you get rid of Jota this week. Realistically, are you then planning to bench Fernandes, Salah or Greenwood? Probably not. So I get it, but Jota's going to be on the bench. I guess what I'm looking at is the week afterwards, let's say Madison doesn't score points, you know, potentially we could look at upgrading Vidra, which is definitely on my mind at some stage, and maybe downgrading maybe Madison or Jota to someone like Rafinha. I mean, to be honest with you, if I was going to make a transfer this week, I probably, if you're going to ditch Jota, I'd be more inclined to even look at Lingard and put Lingard into that midfield. But the only thing is, I don't think Lingard has a double, does he?
They're decimated, that West Ham team.
Yeah, they are, but Lingard is still continuing to score goals. I think they'll be leaky at the back, but he still looks pretty good. I mean, obviously this week it didn't look great against Chelsea. But
they've lost like four of the last eight, haven't they, West Ham?
Yeah, but he continues to score goals. I mean, it doesn't matter how many they're conceding. It's whether or not he's scoring or not. But
it's definitely a weird week. I think that there's a few different routes we could go down. I think what needs to be our focus is that potential double. I'm just very wary of being really heavy on those two teams.
Yeah, I get that. I think if I was going to look at an Everton player, though, I'm not realistically thinking about Rodriguez. I think I'd be more inclined to... I haven't really looked at his numbers, but DCL was the one who kind of sticks out for me. But I haven't... Again, I've not looked at his goal-scoring form.
But that's the thing. Like, Rodriguez has got 23 in his last four. Like, he's been... No one's really looking at him. He's still... It's not mad numbers, but it's like...
It's 5 or 6 points a game. That's why no one's looking at him.
Yeah, he's got a goal and assist in his last four games.
I'm inclined to say I don't really want to make a transfer this week, but I appreciate where you two are coming from when you're looking to build for the double. And I think, you know, that does make sense. It's just when it comes to that double, am I that excited about Rodriguez based on those numbers, getting an assist a game? Not hugely, but I see where you're coming from.
Let's look at it at a different angle. We've got no Everton players at the moment. Do you agree that we need to get some Everton?
I think their double looks good.
That double, assuming the double goes ahead.
I just think that Rodriguez is a bit of a wasted midfield pick. There have been this season so many good midfield picks around that as and when we get to that double, I would think there are probably better options out there. The other question is how much focus do you want to put on those games in the double game week? Because they're not exactly the most tasty fixtures that you're ever going to have. Like, so many teams that are playing in that double game week have got really, really tough matchups. So it's really hard to call.
And then you've got Zaha, who's sticking out like a sore thumb, but he's the one player who's playing for the worst team in the league at the moment.
I did really consider Zaha as well.
Right. But then this game week is against Man City, so you may as well not exist in the FPL world this week. So
yeah.
Someone you definitely want for maybe the two games afterwards, if that's like Sheffield United, Villa, and there's a double thrown in there somewhere. But I think there's value in everything that we're all saying. Sensible Jackson's pick, you being a little bit more pragmatic in terms of the planning process. I'm happy to pick any one of 12 midfielders to come in for Jota.
Look, the thing is, I think, again, we're going to have to pause this here because we're not going to make a decision now. The reason being, we've still got the Europa League games. We're heavily invested in United. So, you know, let's say there's an injury to Greenwood or Fernandes. We're not going to make that decision. But also, there's a high chance that the Game Week 35 double gets announced on Friday, you know, from what I was reading before we came onto this podcast. So we're not going to make a transfer now, as much as we'd like to and as much as it's annoying, we're going to leave it on the floor. So it's quite good that we've had the kind of the discussion, but realistically it's going to be another one of those last minute transfer scrambles that we're really enjoying at the moment.
If that double does get announced on Friday, are you then more inclined to go with James Rodriguez?
I don't think he's really the Everton asset that I want, but I think I'd be more inclined to look at I hadn't really thought this, but I'd almost be more inclined to look at taking a hit and getting one of the Everton strikers in for Vidra and then maybe dropping one of our midfielders.
We just need to get to Friday and figure out what our best options are. But I mean, I'm with Greg. I would rather make a move, and I would like to get into that Everton side. And I think Everton have got a good fixture this week, so why wouldn't we take advantage of it? But I take your point that James isn't that exciting, but I think anyone else would probably require a hit.
We could do the hit with bringing DCL or Richarlison, doesn't really matter, bringing them in, and then we can still choose one of the plethora of midfielders I chose earlier as well. So we still actually have a little bit of leeway because of the money we've got in the bank.
We talked it out a bit, but I think there's going to be lots of things that change between now and the deadline. Let's talk about captain. Obviously, Harry Kane is a really obvious option, but Southampton have got the worst defence in the league over the last six games, and Leicester have got the best attack, and Iheanacho is absolutely flying. So actually, initially when I came into this, I was like, well, it's, you know, you only go for Harry Kane, obviously. But I think Iheanacho is, you know, big Ian. He's a good shout.
Ian also, I think, is a really secure, not that he wouldn't be, but I think his spot is really secure now because I heard that Barnes is definitely out now for a while. So I think he's probably nailed on till the end of the season now.
You can't drop him in that form. He's my captain pick this week as well. I've got loads of amazing stats about him, like if you want to listen to some. So only Harry Kane has registered more goal involvements than Iheanacho amongst Premier League players in all competitions in 2021. He's netted 14 goals in his last 14 appearances as well for Leicester in all competitions, which is as many as he managed in his previous 76 games. But like, the guy's on fire. And like that goal, he hit it so hard, so early on Monday night. It's fantastic. Get him in. Big Ian. I did say it as well last week. My gut.
Nick, who are you thinking about, captain?
Well, I have written down Harry Kane. The reason I've written him down, he'll have had a week's additional rest to recover his ankle. Facing bottom of the table at home, he's chasing the golden boot. They want the top four. I think he's going to be highly, highly captained around our position in the league. And I think he's the sensible pick. However, without wanting to blow too much smoke up Greg's what's it, I think he did call Iheanacho last week and we said Salah, and he did get a few more points than Salah. So although it wasn't a bad pick last week, I feel like I kind of owe Greg a little bit and we should go with him. What I'm saying is, to finish, I'm on the fence.
I'm really on the fence about those, especially because Harry Kane looked so unfit. I think everything does point towards Iheanacho and not towards Kane, but you just know that Sheffield United have got the capacity to get stuffed 5-0. Let's say Spurs decide to play Bale, Son and Kane. I mean, that's...
I'm not sure that's right about Sheffield United.
No.
What's
I
that?
Don't, like, their stats this season for being beaten by one goal are ridiculous. I don't think they're a team that gets stuffed.
Didn't You're they recently right, get it? Stuffed by Leicester only about 3 or 4 weeks back?
Yeah, but that was an anomaly. Like, if you look at the numbers, I don't know off the top of my head, but I've definitely read that they have some ridiculous stat about being beaten by one goal.
I mean, more recently, they seem to have been
a bit
score past, like 5-0 against Leicester, 3-0 against Arsenal. You say about Southampton, they're the one team in the league that you know can concede 6-7 goals.
9.
So let's be honest, they're probably more on the beach than a Sheffield United. And we've said that the last few weeks anyway.
I'm erring towards Ian.
Let's just leave it there. I'm getting to the point where, I mean, I said earlier on, Greg, to Nick, that I went for a swim today. I only did 20 lengths. It's my first bit of cardio for a long time. Killed me. Honestly, right now, I feel like I've run a marathon twice. 20 lengths. What's wrong with me?
You're looking svelte, though. You look like Ian Thorpe. What do you think of this look, just to end the pod? Think this t-shirt.
I saw that earlier on.
I thought you were wearing those old heat ones that used to change different colours.
A global hypercolour. It's like a fever dream in a t-shirt, right? I bought this by like a relative. It's tie-dye with a picture, a 3D picture of a chameleon on it. You don't find them in most shops, but it's so bloody comfy. I don't wear this out in public, by the way. This is just like my homeware.
Did you not wear it to the shop, though, in the day?
I've not been wearing it all day. I slipped into this around 6 p.m.
You have a change of gear for the podcast. You have like a kit.
Just to give you an insight, I am very strict about slipping into my comfies at around 6, just to kind of really give me that definition between work time and evening time. And I really feel like it pays off. The missus's dad, he swears by cutting all the rims off his t-shirt. I don't know what I'm talking about. He swears by it. He says that if you cut the rim off the neckline of your t-shirt, you'll never look back.
Does so that I not think... make him look like an older version of like Geordie Shaw when they have all the deep V's and stuff?
Oh yeah, it's a very interesting look with like the straggly threads like tickling his neck. But he says like a bit like a Robinson Crusoe type character. But he says he's very, very comfy. He's also got one of these t-shirts. We've got like matching uniforms.
Matching son-in-law t-shirts. It's an interesting one, that, isn't it?
Yeah. I actually think the missus's sister's fella's got one as well. So yeah, it's nice that we all have the same stuff.
So that when Carrie Ann gets into bed with you, it's a bit like she's getting into bed with her dad.
Oh no, because I haven't cut the neck of my t-shirt off. So that's
Yeah. So that's how she knows in the dark. That's the end of the podcast. I'll stick the team up before 3 p.m. on Friday at FPL Experiment before 3 p.m. because there's a social media blackout, which we think is a really good idea. Also, it will stop people having to suffer the messages that come out from Greg all the time. So there's a double whammy there. Thanks for listening to the Greg podcast.